Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
One more round of CBS music, JP.
I'm pretty good at it.
You
now.
Really are. At this point,
I was hitting all the right notes.
You were, which is why you cut yourself off just now. You don't want to kill a good thing, which would be the case here for the third podcast in a row.
You keep talking, I'll just be the bed underneath. Go ahead.
Perfect. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm super distracted, and I'm from Lake Country and Now Publications. And he is J.P. Ghidorah, musical extraordinaire.
See, that's why you could never be in television, because you can't. You need to listen at the same time you're talking, and producers in your ear, and you're just not talented.
That is 100% true, that I am not talented enough, but also...
Looks aside.
Listen, yesterday I made a phone call to an eye doctor. I needed some help with an eye, and I was hearing... Does this ever happen to you when you're on the phone? You hear the echo of what you are saying.
Yes.
Something is wrong in the phone connection. So I was constantly saying something, hearing it back to me, and I was the most distracted person. I could not get through this phone conversation. I was stumbling. I don't even know what I was saying. I can't focus on more than one thing.
I gotta tell you, that is an awesome story.
I hate you.
So anyway, I was in Los Angeles when the Badgers won.
I heard.
Both games. First against... the North Carolina Tar Heels, and then against the Arizona Wildcats.
Wow.
The
plane ride back from L.A., really.
It's kind of a mess right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Poor thing.
Leaving for Indy Thursday morning. Got some press conferences Thursday, including Frank Kaminsky winning his National Player of the Year award. That'll be, I think, Thursday at 1 o'clock Central if he wins.
Sometimes there are so many Player of the Year awards that I get confused about what actually I'm supposed to care about.
Yeah, I think this is the Wooden.
Okay.
And then...
there's also a Naismith.
Yeah, and I don't think
CBS,
that's
and an AP.
And there's an Oscar Robertson as well, and that's on Friday morning.
How many former great basketball players have trophies named after
right
them?
Right now, three.
Okay.
That we've named.
And they're not all players, I suppose, Wooden and Naismith. But I guess... yeah, there have been some awards rolling in for Frank Kaminsky. I'm sure he's going to win the Naismith, but I think that's the one I'm supposed to care about, right? The Naismith?
I think Naismith and or Wooden.
Okay.
I think one of those.
Okay.
Or both.
That
probably
sounds,
whichever one he wins.
That sounds
care
good.
About that one.
So let's talk about these games themselves, because as we just mentioned, you were in Los Angeles watching the craziness. Let's start with that final game. Have you ever seen the Badgers play that well? That's the best I've ever seen the Wisconsin Badgers play in
79%.
Unbelievable.
I think it was 15 for 20 field goals in the second. No, because that's 75%. So something really close to that.
And they needed it, too, because it was not a big spread. 7 points at the end. They needed every shot.
And, of course, they're going to play like that again against Kentucky.
Yes.
There's nothing to worry about. It's interesting because that was an offensive display on a team that doesn't give up offensive displays. I mean, everything that they did was a season high allowed for Arizona. So they just caught fire. And it was really, really fun to watch. It was definitely a pro-Arizona crowd. I don't know how much that came across the television, but... man, that was incredible.
So tell me something that I did not see on TV, something behind the scenes to prove that you were there.
It was a lot of popcorn. They had like a spicy trail mix, which was pretty good.
Because of course you're going to go right to the media room food. Well done.
There was a fruit stand, and as I said on Twitter, that's a place to go where you just want to be left alone for a little while because there were... no media members touching the fruit stand.
The hard-hitting journalism.
Do you want something else?
I don't know. Yes, the hard-hitting journalism.
Yes,
of
I
the
was
fruit
there.
Stand was.
Yes, I was there. If you're worried,
did you get the sense afterwards that a little bit was made about how well this is a little bit more business-like than it has been than it was the previous year? You were in Anaheim last year. Did that come through for you that it really didn't
100%.
Feel? 100%. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, the Final Four video from last year in Anaheim, you know, we use that all the time because it's Happy Celebration video. And so I just used it like last week, and it, yeah, it looks dramatically different than this year. This year it was, I mean, it's this, it was the same celebration that I recorded when they won the Big Ten tournament. It was the same celebration that they had in Omaha. I mean, it was, it's just, it's another thing off the checklist, and that sucks to say, but this team never doubted for a minute that they'd be here. So they shouldn't have gotten excited about it.
There's so many moments I'm going to remember from that game. I'm going to remember Josh Gosser kind of giving an up and under move to shake TJ McConnell of Arizona and then hit a three. I'm going to remember a lot of the shots that were taken in the second half, but the big one, of course, is the Sam Decker three-pointer that was so eerily reminiscent of his state championship game winner in the Division V title game in 2012, like the same spot on the floor, same kind of off-balance leg kick. Everything about it felt similar, including the fact that it was essentially the clincher, maybe not as close to the buzzer as it was in high school, but did you think that right away when you saw it? I mean, that was immediately what came to my mind, is that was the shot from state.
It did not come to my mind right away. I'm sure if I had the TV feed, it probably would have, but mainly because we did not see it. We were waiting with about 8 minutes left. Here's your background info.
Yeah.
With about 8 minutes left, I went straight into the tunnel to hopefully catch them out on the court celebrating, but if not, catch them coming back to the locker room all despondent. I honestly did not see the last 8 minutes of the game until probably it got back in the media room and saw highlights of what happened. Now you can hear the crowd,
right,
and you can check your phone, but I had no idea.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was actually Wayne Larrivee, who does, of course, Packers games, was on the call on Westwood One. I was not listening to it at the time. I was listening to Matt LaPay, of course, because he's the man. And the Wayne Larrivee call is, he actually had two daggers. He had a three-pointer earlier that he considered the dagger. And then the shot near the end was a final dagger for Sam Decker. So,
and then in the Journal Sentinel the next day, it was Decker Dagger as their headline. And
yes, yeah, I did not even put two and two together on that.
True story.
So that a smart bit of synergy relating the radio broadcast to the print coverage, and just a huge thing to go back to the Final Four says so much. You talk about teams that have gone back to back are typically, we're talking about dynasty type teams. Dynasty is too strong a word, but just really elite programs. You go back to 2000 when the Badgers went to the Final Four. We all agree it was a fluke. The Badgers think it was a fluke, most likely. I mean, none of those guys were NBA talents. They were all just a great, great defensive unit. So great, apparently, that 15 years later, there are still national analysts who think the Badgers are a defense-first team that just suddenly flipped a switch overnight or something to start scoring 75 points a game. But that was not something that was going to be replicated, and it wasn't. They lost in the first round the year after that. And here you have a Badgers team that, quite honestly, I mean, they didn't play perfectly well in those first three games. Not like they did in the Elite Eight game, but this is a team that just knew they were gonna. I mean, this was their expectation, which is pretty sweet.
The weird part was that they actually played pretty well in the first half too. I mean, they were losing by three, and they only scored 30 points, but they actually played pretty well. It turns out that Arizona had matched them, and then in the second half they pulled away. Arizona didn't play terribly,
by any means. But well, they scored, how many points did they score? They racked
45,
it up.
45, I want to say. 42.
Yep.
Because I think they went from 33 to 75. So that was, it was just really fun. And these guys, as we know, they're so funny and goofy that I mean, the locker room afterwards was great. Any interactions that you have with them are usually pretty great because somebody will do something. If our listeners didn't hear or watch the press conference that the Badgers had in Madison today, it's an all-time classic. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's just really fun, and it's such a ridiculous high point for Badger athletics right now. With they've made 5 straight trips to Los Angeles, 3 for Rose Bowls, and then now 2 for Sweet 16s that they won. It's such a ridiculous high point that it's fun for me to be a part of.
And we've talked a little bit in the past about the success that other programs in the state have had, college programs, not even necessarily at the Division I level, but you're talking about UWSP, Stevens Point winning the National Basketball Championship. Before that, it was Whitewater. Well, Whitewater, which has won umpteen football championships in recent memory. And then last year, where they had the baseball state national championship, the basketball, and the football, they were holders of all 3 trophies. So the quality of athletics in Wisconsin, and we're talking about the high school level because a lot of Wisconsin kids are filtering, and Illinois kids, but for them, those two states in particular, are filtering into these programs, and they're having just incredible success across the board. This is no longer, I mean, it's not going to ever be considered Texas or Florida or California in terms of talent, but it can't be overlooked. It's not flyover country because of what they're producing in the college ranks. It's pretty pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before with guys like Kevon Looney and out at UCLA, who's going to be a top 10 draft pick this summer, and Riley LaChance, who's a Vanderbilt freshman of the year and a big piece of that team going forward. I mean, there's guys all over the place, too,
and
probably in every sport, you know?
Let's rewind 2 days to a game that I personally felt much less comfortable watching because of how close I thought it was. Against North Carolina, when the Badgers were down 7 points with 10:50 to go in the Sweet 16, you were in Los Angeles. I was in a Wisconsin bar surrounded by Sconnies, which is where I wanted to be. And the Badgers really had to rally. Big, big points and minutes from Zach Showalter. He had back-to-back buckets, scored and then took a steal coast-to-coast that those two baskets gave the Badgers the lead. And then they held on from there. They really got, again, great performance from Sam Decker, who was incredible throughout this tournament, was the most outstanding player of the West Regional for good reason. Kaminsky was there in the second half after he had sort of struggled a little bit. Everybody seemed to make a play or two that turned into a victory over one of the blue blood programs in NCAA basketball in North Carolina. I'm curious, when you were there, did you? I mean, I turned to my buddy when they went down seven. I'm like, oh wow, they're actually going to lose here. I really thought for a second they were going to lose, even though I knew this team is so good in the final few minutes of these of games, and it was borne out again there. But I really felt pretty much like this was going to be the end of the road.
Here is why the Badgers came back to win. Because when they were down, I think when they were down seven, it's when Kaminsky hit his three. When that happened, or actually right before it happened, I went online to southwest.com to get the number to change my flight. And as soon as that happened, they went on the 7-0 run with Kaminsky's three and then two Showalter baskets.
If there's one thing I've learned from doing a podcast with you, it's that you are the center of the sports universe. Thank goodness for you.
You are correct, sir. So it's taken, what, 30 episodes of this, but you finally get it?
33, I think. Okay. But yes, so the karmic realization that you may be trying to change your flight inspired the Badgers to
pretty
win.
Much.
Yeah.
So then that was my joke. The real story is that in the press box, there's no cheering.
That was my joke.
That was the funny part, now that you've stopped laughing.
Yeah.
So there's no cheering in the press box. I don't necessarily cheer for the Badgers anyway. But when Zach Showalter, like, started hitting those baskets, I remember distinctly throwing my pen down and going, oh my God, what happened?
Right.
Because who in the world could have predicted that Zach Showalter would have been the catalyst for a win?
I know.
Sweet 16.
And the
it's
bench
ridiculous.
The bench has been criticized for not being good enough this year. Duye Dukin, Vito Brown, Zach Showalter, and then lately Trey Jackson, who's been hurt, of course, all year. They haven't been able to really provide that added element that the starter to really supplement what the starters have done, which they haven't needed to do, but some big time production from Showalter. I got to talk to Zach actually yesterday, Tuesday, and did a story on him and his experiences and tied in a lot of his, he threw down that monster dunk in the state semifinals the same year Decker had his big shot. It was off the opening tip in the Germantown game, and I wanted to ask him about that. If he thought about dunking again when he got that coast-to-coast opportunity, he said he did not. He said he was actually really tired and just basically wanted to make sure he got the points.
Slowest fast break ever were the quotes used in the locker room
by
several players.
It was not a speedy developing fast break, but
he was
the
tired.
Results were
he
good.
Said that he cramped up. I think he was just tired. It's pretty fantastic,
yeah.
Though. I mean, hilarious.
Yeah, so the Badgers have beaten North Carolina and Arizona. They will play in their second straight Final Four against Kentucky. That's a 7:49 p.m. Central tip on Saturday night. That will be the second of the two Final Four games. Do they have a chance at all, J.P. Cadoran?
They'll need to play a perfect game and hope that Kentucky has a less than perfect game, and then they got it. No problem.
Yeah, right.
No, they're beatable. I mean, we've seen that Kentucky's beatable. They've just found a way to pull it out so far. So, listen, you just need to play well. I mean, I've been saying it for a while now. You need to make sure that Kaminsky is doing his thing inside, same with Nigel Hayes and Sam Decker to some extent, and then you need to make sure that your perimeter game is strong too. You don't need to hit 79% of your shots, but you need to hit about 50, you know, maybe even a little bit higher, just to keep pace. So it's they're totally beatable. It's going to take a lot for it to happen.
Here are the things that give me optimism. One is that Kentucky, prior to the tournament, but I want to say prior to the Notre Dame game, had not played one of the top 25 best offenses, according to one of the ranking systems out there, in the nation. They hadn't done that all year, which, first of all, is amazing because they play in the SEC. And second of all, is just kind of dumb luck. But when they got into that Notre Dame game, now you see an offense that's really pretty elite. How did it go? I mean, Kentucky struggled. And what surprised me is that Notre Dame didn't do what makes Notre Dame work, and that's shoot a lot of threes and just have tremendous shooting percentage. They drove the ball at Kentucky. They drove it to the hoop. They only shot like 4 or 14 from 3, which is expected because Kentucky can put its perimeter defense includes a 6'10 guy if they want, or 6'8, 6'9. I mean, they can put those guys on the perimeter, and they're good enough defenders to make it impossible to shoot over them. And Notre Dame did find a way to get to the basket and score points. So maybe Kentucky just hasn't been tested to the – I mean, obviously they're a tremendous team. They're undefeated, and they're a phenomenal team. But maybe they haven't seen anybody as good as Wisconsin. And maybe Wisconsin really can do some things that other teams have not been able to do against Kentucky because the other teams haven't been good enough. And the other thing is Kentucky – or rather Wisconsin has something Kentucky has never seen, a seven-footer who can shoot three-pointers. I mean, that's what makes him so dangerous, Frank Kaminsky, all year long. But Notre Dame can't shoot over Kentucky. Wisconsin has a couple guys that can actually shoot over Kentucky with Kaminsky and Decker, especially as well as they're playing. So those are things that give me some optimism here. Obviously, seeing them shoot as well as they did against Arizona gives me optimism. But those things just never that type of thing just never carries over from game to game.
Yeah, you talked about the 3-point shooting of Mr. Kaminsky. I think that is something that was so huge on Saturday night and is so huge in general about this team. That legitimately everybody can hit a three, can beat you with a three. Somebody like Nigel Hayes, the first two that he took in that game were terrible. One was an air ball, and the other one was just a miss. And he looked so bad. The second one, I like yelled at him from the press box, like, "What are you doing?"
And your press box is located in like China, so you actually
it was the Superdome in New Orleans was probably further away, but other than that, yeah, that was probably the furthest away you could have possibly been. But yeah, that. Yell at him, like, what are you doing? But then in the second half, when he pulled up for it, it looked good. It looked good coming out. I'm like, okay. And then he hit it. So he knows better than we do. And I talked to him afterwards. He just said kind of regression to the mean that he knows he's going to hit a few of them every game if he takes, you know, 4 or 5 attempts. So,
right. Yeah.
The 3-point shot has been so huge for them, hasn't it?
It has. And that was a concern that they would go into shooting slumps and that would make them susceptible to getting ousted by teams that weren't as good as them. Well, it hasn't really happened in the tournament. They've certainly had some what you could call lulls, but nothing long enough where they've been legitimately threatened. Maybe against Oregon in the second round, they kind of struggled for a second there, but had the ship plenty righted by the time the final buzzer sounded. The other thing, too, with this Kentucky matchup is everything is about that game. If they win, which I think there's definitely a chance they can win, are they going to have enough in the tank to hang with even Michigan State? Or, I mean, if Michigan State's been playing so well.
Yes.
And Duke.
Yes. What tired cliche are you buying into?
I'm saying, how in the world can a team beat Kentucky and then go ahead and beat Duke, a team that, by the way, beat them at the Kohl Center and is also supremely good
when there's
and
a win national a national title? When there's a national championship on the line.
I'm not saying they won't have the mental fortitude to do it. I'm just saying physically. I mean, how do you play? Kentucky is so demanding.
Because they're in better shape than we are. Well, they are 18 to 22-year-old men conditioned for this exact purpose.
I wouldn't even make it out of the locker room, pretty much. Running through the tunnel
you would hurt yourself cause tying, me to cramp tying up. Your shoes.
Yeah, it would. It's true. So I wanted to get your take on something else that happened in Wisconsin sports real quickly. It's a little delicate because the recruiting is always a little delicate, but Diamond Stone of Dominican, we've talked about him at length over the year on our podcast. He committed to the University of Maryland, surprised a lot of people. A lot of people thought he was going to ultimately end up at Wisconsin, committed to Maryland. I think it was Friday night. Certainly, everything you would expect to happen did happen. You got people coming out of the woodwork criticizing it because, oh, you're never going to succeed at Maryland, and I'm so jealous of you and your career. And
are they Frenchmen? Is that who's
every? By the way, every default accent I have is French. I try to imitate German people. I try to imitate anything. It turns into French. I'm sorry. That's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Anyway, the French and also the Americans very upset with him in the area. I mean, what did you have a reaction to that? That did surprise me. I thought he would end up at Wisconsin. I guess I'm not like totally crestfallen as a Wisconsin fan, but very interesting development.
I'm thrilled for the kid. Yeah. If he just found a place where he wants to go to college, then that is amazing, and I wish him the best of luck. People shouldn't care one bit. If he decided that Wisconsin is not for him, great. Some people love Madison. Some people love campus. Some people love Bo Ryan. He might have found somewhere that he likes better. I think there is an elephant of the room of academics and any other benefits that might have been had. Great, that's fine. If we ever find out those things, then that'll change our perspective. But knowing what we know now, this is an 18-year-old kid who just found his next home. And I am thrilled for the kid. I have no ill will at all towards him. And I wish him luck.
Yeah, and when you say benefits, not even as nefarious as you make it sound, but Under Armour is sort of stationed at Maryland the way that Nike is stationed at Oregon. And so there was some thought that there might be a relationship there, Under Armour having some influence that isn't even necessarily under the table, like legit influence for recruits. So who knows if that played a role or not, or if academics played a role. It seems to me through the rumor mill, there are a lot of different bits of information that are conflicting. So quite honestly, we have no idea what's actually going on there. But I agree with you because I said this on the podcast and I've written about this. Think of what Diamond Stone would have to face if he goes to Wisconsin. He's getting a lot of flack from the local people who wanted to see him at Wisconsin. He's also going to get flack if he shows up at Wisconsin on day one and doesn't completely dominate the Big Ten. And I think it's fair to say that's an unrealistic expectation. We've seen him play and we know he's a good player. Do we think he's going to completely dominate the Big Ten from day one? I certainly don't. Maybe I'm wrong. He's going to get a chance. He's going to play in the Big Ten. You think he's that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but
he's a big boy.
He's very good. He's very big, yes. I just wonder if I feel though in Wisconsin the expectations would be too immense. Sure. People who've seen him in high school would think you only get 1 year here, you better take over or we're not going to love you like we thought we would. I just felt like that was an unfair situation to walk into at Maryland. He can kind of craft his own legacy. I mean, people have heard of him there, but they're not going to look at him the way that Wisconsin fans would look at him.
And what if somebody just wanted to get out of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
What if, God forbid, somebody doesn't think Milwaukee or Madison are the greatest cities in the world and just wanted to get away for a little while?
Well, and the frustrating thing for me is that the collateral here is that you get people talking about Bo Ryan's recruiting acumen. Oh, we didn't get Kevon Looney. He didn't get Diamond Stone. He didn't get J.P. Tokido.
Henry Ellenson.
And didn't get Henry Ellenson. As he's preparing for his second Final Four, he didn't recruit the state hard enough. I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. And it goes without saying that he doesn't need frontline talent to wind up succeeding in college. And Frank Kaminsky is example A, B, and C as that goes. But you just can't get everybody. You can't get every recruit. And top line recruits are, like you said, maybe they don't want to be in Wisconsin. Maybe they've immediately ruled out Wisconsin because it's too close. Maybe they want to play on the West Coast. Maybe they want to create their own path. I mean, there are so many factors at play. You're not going to get every – you can't put up a wall around Wisconsin when you only have 12 scholarships or 16 scholarships, whatever the number is. You just got to let some people go somewhere else. And I can't handle people talking about Bo Ryan's recruiting acumen as he's brought this team to, what, 4 out of 5 Sweet 16s and back-to-back Final Fours.
That's bingo.
Nuts.
And, I mean, my college decision was tough enough, and – I'm nobody. So
I know. Imagine. You really are nobody. You went to Iowa, though. You kept it in the Big Ten.
I did. I wanted a short drive away, and I got it. And it was fun.
Yep. Did you win, like, a wrestling national championship or something? I mean, Iowa's known for this.
Three in a row, but who's
You're
counting?
A liar.
Swear to God.
Liar.
Well, Iowa won three in a row, and then Penn State won four, and then Ohio State won their first this
Big
year.
Big Ten is good in wrestling, I've heard.
They usually have about 9 teams in the top 25 every year.
Yeah, and Nebraska, I know, is always really good. Yeah. I say that only because I know they got Arrowhead kids on it, and you're an Arrowhead kid.
Jake Soufflon.
Yep.
There we go. So that's our wrestling knowledge for
That's our wrestling knowledge for
Alex
the day.
Dieringer from Port Washington. I don't know if he won a national title. Where is he? Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I think he was a national champion last year. I don't know if he won this year or not. But he was in the national tournament, so he's right up there.
Speaking of Port Washington, nice. If you log on to lakecountrynow.com, you can check out a story by my colleague, Chuck Delsman. He wrote about one of our local teams.
That hack.
Long time writer in Lake Country. He wrote a story focused primarily on one of the teams we cover, the Pewaukee basketball team. They faced off with Port Washington in a sectional final in 2007, featuring a young freshman named Josh Gasser.
At that point, it was probably Gasser.
You're probably right, yes. At that point, it was still Gasser. Josh Gasser, who led them to an overtime victory over Pewaukee. Port wound up in the state championship game, kind of a Cinderella run. Heartbreaking loss for Pewaukee. The funny thing to come out of that story is the coach, Tim Reuter of Pewaukee, saying, "We didn't really care about Josh Gasser." I mean, not that they didn't care about him, but he wasn't in their game plan to stop. Because they'd seen him on film, and he wasn't really that big of an attacking threat. Well, he got better as his freshman year went along. And by the end, he was the guy hitting a huge shot to send Port to state and give Pewaukee a dash of heartbreak. Pewaukee center on that team, any idea what his name might have been?
I'll tell you. I do know.
It's, in fact, J.J. Watt.
I don't want to steal your
Now thunder. Playing in the National Football League. So some stars in that game. And then also you can read my article on GermantownNow.com about Zach Showalter and his experiences with the Badgers team and his key role that he's played here to get them to the Final Four.
Jake Showalter is transferring.
I saw that. News? That's news as of today.
I interviewed him on Saturday. He didn't give me a heads up.
Yeah, nor did Zach when I talked to him a day before. I'm like, so yeah, you saw your brother Jake a little bit on TV in North Dakota State. And he was like, yeah, I was watching the game. I guess it just wasn't official yet.
Yep, we are over here at Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. We're digging out all of our file video. We're getting our Decker and Gasser and Showalter video ready for a Final Four special.
Ooh!
Friday night at 7 o'clock from Indianapolis. But then we'll have roundtables there. Let me think. Thursday's from here.
You're going to have roundtables there? Like, who's going to be involved?
Friday. The press conferences and locker rooms will be involved.
Got it.
So that's Friday at 4:30, and then this special at 7. And then replays all day Saturday, and then they win, and then we have another special roundtable on Sunday with locker room reaction, and then on Monday we have a new roundtable, and then the game, and then we have live post-game coverage from Indy if they play in the title game.
Did you just say live post-game
live
coverage?
Live post-game coverage.
That's new. That's
and
interesting.
Going on air at 11 p.m.
So better so set your DVRs. That's amazing.
Set your DVRs because people will be out and about celebrating.
That's what I'm saying. That's a lot of coverage.
We're everywhere, and we're doing a lot of work.
Channel 32 on your Time Warner cable dial, or 1332 if you like pictures that are prettier and in HD.
Stick with 32. Go to standard def.
There are enough media people there. You could do roundtables there like normal.
In LA, there were 11 TV stations from Wisconsin alone.
What?
That includes nobody from Green Bay, and one station from Milwaukee was missing.
Okay.
And that didn't include any Eau Claire's either. So like, there could legitimately be about 20... Because Indy is drivable, obviously.
Sure.
So this could be legitimately about 20 TV stations alone.
That's amazing. And you could totally do roundtables.
Most people send 2 to 4 per station, so it's gonna get intense.
Yeah, you should definitely sit some of those people down and have them chat about.
No.
Why not?
Okay, fine.
Well, I don't want to take time away from your video packages.
Thank you.
They are crucial.
Here we go.
So I'm looking forward to it. Of course, my parents, they live in Lexington. My father is a Kentucky season ticket holder.
Oh, wow.
I watched the national semifinal with them last year. It was not a pleasant experience. I look forward to owning them this year, though I will not be in the same room as them. I'm driving to Lexington, though, to visit them on Monday, National Championship Monday. I will wave at you as we pass Indianapolis at the little dome that they have there.
Should be fun. Should be a fun weekend.
Yep, it should be. Folks, thanks again for listening to the Initial Reaction podcast. We will holler at you very soon. Go Badgers!
Something like that. Bye, friends.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.